Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm your host, C. Major Porter. Thank you so much for joining us on this Saturday evening. You're here on the C. Major Radio Show, and we're talking about writing down beautiful sounds, seventh chords. Do you like the music of J.S. Bach? Do you like Mozart? Do you like Haydn and other revered composers? If so, then you may be able to use their examples of seventh chords to help you find your way around the piano. What about new music? We'll talk about that too. We'll do a light analysis of seventh chords as used in tonal music. You'll be expected to write down, name, and spell basic seventh chords. In the words of one of our resources, the old is absorbed into the new. One music borrows from another. We'll explore the construction of seventh chords and how to write inversions. In the past, we've talked about the use of blue notes, for example, third, fifth, and seventh notes. We'll cover major and minor chord types in this podcast episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for being here tonight. It's a great pleasure to talk with you about writing down beautiful sounds, seventh chords. So let's get started. We're using the resource tonight, the original piano chord finder. And if you were with us over at C Major before the show, we talked about this tonight. But I like to give things in a little bit more detail over here. And since we're writing it down, I need to describe what it looks like on the staff as you are writing it down. So let's turn to the first page where it talks about how to use this book. You may not need to read this, but I'm going to read a little bit for you, just so you know how we're going along tonight. So what you do is place the book on your music stand because it's rather long. So you're turning pages the long way, and so it's horizontal. And what you do is look up the letter name of the chord, because this book can be used by someone who does not read music as well as someone who does know how to read music on the staff. So that's why I like it so much. So you'll see the letter names that are arranged throughout the book. It's not arranged in ABC order. It's arranged chromatically. And then as you look up the chords in chromatic order, you'll see all of the major chord types. You'll see major, you'll see augmented, dominant seventh. Sometimes you just say seventh, and then major seventh, dominant seventh with a flat ninth, dominant ninth, and they're all listed on the left-hand side of the page. And then all of the minor chord types, minor, minor seventh, minor with a major seventh, diminished seventh, half diminished seventh, minor ninth are on the right-hand page. So I want you to follow this as closely as you can. We'll come back and say a little bit more about the design of the book. But what do we mean when we say seven chords? So if you're over here on this podcast, then you probably already know a little bit something about how to write down music, or at least you're interested in it. And you probably have heard of seven chords, but how would you describe it? Would you describe seven chords as a beautiful sound? What's your description? I want you to think about that tonight. And although we really don't assign homework over here, we do invite you to go on to C Major's classroom if you'd like to, and then just see what's going on over there. Now, we'll say this, because I am a huge fan of the music of Prince. We did talk about the music of Prince prior to tonight's show, and we did mention some other songs that you might look into just to explore the sound of seven chords and to see if you can recognize that. I just recall back in the days of music appreciation and music history, music literature, that's what we did. Your training class, we really just literally listened to see if we could hear what a seventh chord sounded like. And to be honest, I wish I paid attention a little bit more to what we were trying to listen to in the first place. But you know what? Let's try to do that tonight. So let's take a look at the first page where it says C major. And as was described, you'll see on the left-hand part of the book, the left-hand page, where it says symbol, and then you'll see the letter C. Next to that, column to the right says chord name, C major. And then the formula that they give you is spelled out in dots. So let me say a little bit more about that, because they do explain that. So if you happen to be looking at this, so when they say formula, you follow the formula for the type of chord you want. For example, after the chord named D9 or D9, the formula given is ......79. So finding these symbols in the diagram will tell you which notes make up a D9 chord. And that is if you're looking at a keyboard and you're looking at black and white key relationship. But you may not need that. You may not need to use this diagram at all. But I think it's helpful once you start to think about the voicing of the chord, once you start to think about the inversions, which we will be touching on tonight. So this is a very exciting book for anyone who's thinking about writing down music and then playing it at the same time. Okay, so now let's go from left to right and the writing of it on the staff. So I'm excited about this because this book shows the grand staff. So you have your treble clef, you have your bass clef, you have your brace, you have your bar line. And so everything is neatly placed on the grand staff. So let's start with the bass clef. So you're going to write for the bass. And remember, in our last discussion, in our last podcast episode, we talked about C major expansions, and we talked about chord expansions. So you will get the expanded version of these chords, which I love. So you'll just have to figure out for yourself which fingering you want to use. I just recall again that the music theory teachers that I've had in the past weren't necessarily pianists, so they didn't always know how to play the examples that they were so able to beautifully explain to us. But I challenge you, if you are learning to write this down, also find a way to play it in your own way. You can divide the chord into left and right hand if you need help with that. Seek out someone who can help you with that, and then just trust that they're leading you the right way, or just do the best that you can. So we have a bass C written in the bass clef. And if you need a visual, it's second space C. And I like this book also because it writes everything out as whole notes. So second space C in the bass. And then come right on up to the treble clef, and you're just going to write a C chord, but starting with middle C. So you should see middle C with its own short letter line, followed by E, first line E, and second space G. And that's what we're saying for a C major chord. Now, because you're writing down music, I'm just going to go ahead and just give you everything that's pictured here. So next is C augmented. We have not talked about augmented chords at all, but it's basically a raised fifth. I like the sound of augmented chords. I don't really use them much in my own writing, but you may find use for it in your own writing. So the way that they've expressed a C augmented chord in the printing of the symbol is to put a C and then a plus sign. So again, if you need to see that on a keyboard and the black and white key relationship, you just look for the dots and then you look for the plus sign on the key that's showing you to raise that note. So then you have, again, a C in the bass clef, bass C, in the second space, and then right hand is playing C, E, G, but this time G sharp, because the fifth is raised a half step. Okay, now, it's getting more exciting as we go along. Let's go on to the C dominant seventh chord. So for this, you're going to write it as and play it as a C in the bass, a G in the bass, an E in the treble clef, and then a B flat. So basically, C, G, E, B flat. Now, it is possible to play all with one hand, but we're dividing it. So, again, second space C in the bass, and then put your G in the top space, the fourth space G. Come on up to the treble clef and put your E on the first line, and then draw your B flat on line three. So just draw B, again, as a whole note, put the flat sign in front of it. Some of my students get confused about that too. They say, "Oh, well, we say it as B flat. Wouldn't the flat go after?" No, only when you're writing the word B hyphen flat, but the flat sign goes in the front of the note. Okay, and then I'm just going to be curious if you think this is a beautiful sound. We're talking about aesthetics here. If you enjoy the sound of a seventh chord, do you? And do you like playing it that way? Do you like playing two voices in the left hand and then two voices in the right? Or would you rather just play everything with your right hand? Which fingering are you using? That's another thing. And are you comfortable with the fingering that you're using? That's another question. Okay, it's getting more exciting as we go along. So we just played a C dominant seventh. Now we're going to a C major seventh chord. I love the sound of a major seventh chord. I just do. And I might have shared with you the story of composing one of my first songs in college. And my music theory professor was so unimpressed because the whole entire song was nothing but major seventh chords. And the sequence must have been totally off because he looked at me and just said, "You know, what you wrote made absolutely no sense." But I just remember getting an applause from the class because they liked the way it sounded, just like me. So I guess it goes along with that whole rule. If it sounds good, it is good. But in the case of my grade, I had to change it to suit him. But now, let's get back to the sound of seventh chords and how to write a C major seventh chord on the staff. So you're going to keep a bass C and a bass G in the left hand again. This time, play a treble E and then a treble B. And play the B as a B natural. So we've written out four chords so far, and then we've just written them the way that I described, so that you're adding more sound as you go along. Also, if you ever have any questions about this, you can always DM me. You can get in touch with me on social media. I must be easy to find because someone else found me last week, and they reached out to me to tell me how much they love the song Gut Feeling and then invited me to subscribe to some service. So it just seems that the internet is just full of invitations nowadays when it comes to the music industry. But shout out to anyone who is listening and you are really tuned in to what we're trying to do here with writing down chords. You know, sometimes on this podcast, let me say this, that we get callers and then I won't even know that you've called until after I've hung up myself or turned off my sound or shut down my studio, and then I'll look and see, oh, there was a caller that came through the switchboard. So if your call doesn't come through, you know, don't feel badly about that. But I just ask you, if you are going to call in, please call in with the intention to add to the conversation about cords. Better yet, let me know ahead of time so I can send you an invitation and we can all be on the same page as you're going to be calling in, because sometimes I may want to play a clip, as in the case of tonight. If I have time, I'm going to play for you a live interview that I did, one of the first ones that preceded the other interview clip that I did a few weeks back, so you can hear what the first interview sounded like. And I'm going to caution you, I was very nervous when that first interview took place, so you may hear some of the dryness in my voice as I was starting to need some water to get through that first part of the interview because I was so nervous. But back to the chords. Okay, so far we're giving you C, C augmented, C7, C major 7 chord, and then now we're going to move on to something we have never done before on this podcast, and that is talk about a C dominant 7 chord with a flat 9. I just don't recall talking about that. I don't think we have, but I'm so excited to spell it out for you. So on the staff, you're going to write a bass C, followed by a B-flat, which sits on top of the bass staff, and then come on up to the treble clef, and then you write E, G, and then D-flat. So first line E, second line G, and then fourth line D with a flat. So that is a C with a flat 9. If you see it, you may just not know what it is if you've never paid attention to the chord symbols. I have students now, for some reason, they just don't pay attention to the chord symbols. I'm like, what are you doing? They're not using all the information on the page. And, you know, they know that we're very friendly in our piano lessons, so they're laughing along. They're, oh, yeah, I didn't see that. But if a publication gives it to you, if the editor is nice enough to spell it out for you, definitely use it. There's a lot of information there that you can use. But you may see it as a C followed by parentheses, and then you have a flat and then a 9 inside of the parentheses. So that's what you look for. Okay. Next is a C9 chord, and sometimes you say C dominant 9th. There's also a very interesting blog that's available online, so if you care to look it up and just do a search of how to describe 7 chords, and it should pop up. I mentioned this blog over at C Major before the show, so you're invited to go over there and listen. By the way, thank you so much for your downloads. You guys have been really generous, guys and gals, I'll say it that way. Everyone who's listening, we really appreciate it. We thank you for your time. We thank you for your attention. And hopefully you find this helpful somewhat and that it can spark a discussion in whatever you're doing with your music making. So we really appreciate it. So thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. So C dominant 9th would be spelled C followed by B flat followed by E, G, and then D natural. Now, in the future, we will say a little bit more about 9th chords and the use of those chords, but tonight we focus mainly on 7th chords because I was really excited, first of all, to talk about 7th chords and then to have you start listening to some music. So the music of Prince, we're paying attention to his projects from 1994 and 1995. If you look those up on your music subscription service, you should be able to find those projects from those particular years where he was a little bit more experimental and open-ended, as the way it was described. And then he went back to more traditional Prince and more of his signature sound as well as signature lyrics. So just to give you a heads up on that. Now let's move over to minor. So in this book, on the right-hand side of the page of the book, you'll see symbol C minor 7, C minor with a major 7, and then you'll see C diminished seventh, and then C half diminished seventh, and then C minor ninth. Of a C minor chord, but we're starting with a C in the bass, and then coming on up, middle C, E flat, G. Followed by a C minor 7 chord, and then we have C, bass C, G, and then we have an E flat, and then a B flat. And then we have a C, followed by a G, followed by a B flat, followed by a B natural for a C minor with a major seventh. For C diminished seven, bass C, bass G flat, E flat, and then A in the treble clef. And then two more to go. A C half diminished seventh spells C, G flat, and the bass. Treble is E flat, followed by B flat. And then a C minor ninth. C in the bass, B flat. That's top line, B flat. In the bass. Followed by first line, E flat, in the treble clef. Second line G, and then fourth line D. Okay, so we're going to stop there. I could go on to other chords, but I'm going to come back to this book just to talk about inversions, but I just want to go over to our other resource really quickly and then just say a little bit about inversions. So if I can find that page quickly. Okay, so we've been using this book a lot, talking about chords, and I know I have to be careful not to read everything verbatim because this is somebody else's content, their copyrighted work, and we don't want to overuse it. But if you just happen to have a copy of this book, you can definitely follow along. I just want you to pay attention to how the chords have been laid out, because that's what we're describing tonight in a certain way. And so the inversions for seven chords, the exciting thing about seven chords is that you get to have four notes and three inversions. How exciting is that? So since a seventh chord is made out of four notes, there's a lot of music in four notes, there are three inversions in addition to the root position. And there are ways of indicating that. So just, you know, play around with it once you write it down, and just to see if you can get the sound that you are looking to have, and then just see what you like. Okay, so a little bit more about inversions, and then I'm going to see if I can go ahead and play this clip. I want to play the first C major live interview that I did as an indie artist on an independent radio show. This book, by the way, also talks about piano styles, and I'm talking about the chord chart book. Okay, so here it is. It's talking about styles and technique, and it says general chord theory, inversions, and it says all of the diagrams and suggested voicings in the piano chord finder give the arrangement of notes and root position. That is, the root, the name of the chord, is the lowest note and the voicing. There are also inversions of chords. So if you need a quick definition of inversions, write this down, or just remember it, or download the podcast and write it down later if you happen to be driving. Inversions are formed by moving the lowest note of any particular voicing up an octave. For example, a C major triad in root position, CEG, becomes first inversion, EGC, by moving the C in the bass up an octave, leaving the third E in the bass. If the E in the bass is moved up an octave, the second inversion results, leaving the fifth G in the bass. Sometimes students get confused about this. I'm not sure why, but I think there's a way to teach it. I have found a very nice way to teach my students, and it works nicely. So we'll come back to a discussion of tonic and subdominant and dominant and using that type of language a little bit later on in our podcast episode. By the way, we still are going along with the Piano for Parents series. I really am talking to parents as my main audience this year, and it's born out of the need of parents to really want to communicate with their children about their music making. So it just seems that parents have a different way of approaching piano lessons than their children. Some children do traditional methods, and some of the parents just aren't able to jump in and help them with that. And so they want to be able to do what they can at the piano just to have an open dialogue with their children. And then you have some parents that are looking to teach their own children piano lessons. And I've heard of some very successful concert pianists who started off that way, like their mom was their piano teacher, and it worked out really well for them. Okay, so I'm going to come back to my discussion of chords, but right now I'm going to break up the broadcast. I'm going to play for you the first C major live interview. I hope it's cued and ready to go. And then I'll come back and talk with you about seven chords a little bit more, and then say something about what we plan to do for next week's podcast. So stay with us, and you're here on the C Major Radio Show. Jeff Fox Show. Jeff Fox Show.
Jeff Fox Show. Jeff Fox Show. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Jeff Fox Radio Show live broadcast. Now welcome your host, Jeff Fox, the fox that rocks the box.
Hi, how are you? Oh, man. Thank you so much for coming out to the Jeff Fox Radio Show live broadcast. Give yourself a round of applause. This is something different. And we're going to talk to some wonderful up-and-coming artists. C Major is in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Wonderful keyboardist and song stylist. Right now, I'd like to bring to the stage a young lady that I met at Guitar Center a few years ago, and we got to talking, and I found out that she was just a fantastic artist, very talented, and she's going to perform for you, but she has an interesting story. Please put your hands together for C Major. Wow. All this equipment here is because of C Major, because she works in the audio department at Guitar Center. And I would go in and get mixers and recorders, and she would tell me what to buy and make all that commission, right?
That's right.
Now, it's interesting that that you're an audio expert. Let's talk about that. How did you get involved in that?
Well, my background is acoustic. I come from classical training, and for a lot of years, I only played just acoustic instruments.
Yeah.
And then in about around 2007,
mm-hmm.
I made a change.
Okay.
And I noticed that the way that the industry was going was digital.
Right.
And everyone was becoming a producer.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, if I really want to take my music to the next level, I have to learn about technology. So
okay.
I signed on with the Guitar Center, and I've been there for 6 years. So I'm the only woman salesperson in Pro Audio.
Wow.
And
And a man-dominated industry.
It is.
What is that like to be the only woman in that type of industry?
It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about Guitar Center is that it's corporate. We have over 250 stores in the chain.
Right.
And since I've been there, I've been able to help shine a light on the women of Guitar Center.
Wow.
So things are really turning around. We have new leadership that's really listening to some of our concerns and also just starting to really recognize that we know something too.
There you go. And do you have time to still compose music with this technical career as well?
I do, and the thing I love about Guitar Center is that it's really, they really got behind my music making and just the employees in general. And we have thousands of employees in the company, but every year there is a product, there's a product or a project rather, that's released by the company, and it's actually a contest. So you compete with other musicians to have your music highlighted on a CD. So the name of that CD is Fresh Cuts, and so one of my songs was selected for the Fresh Cuts Volume 7, which was released in 2011.
Okay.
So.
Okay, and you actually travel around as a solo artist, different venues around the tri-state area?
I do.
How was that as a solo artist, doing your own thing that way, without a real band behind you? What is that like?
It feels good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I come from classical music, so I don't have a problem going on stage with a grand piano.
Right.
You know? But what's different when you go to a club is that if you're in a club, you don't have an acoustic instrument there. You just have either a keyboard that you bring in yourself, or in this case, in this space, you have a digital piano. So you just have to make a few adjustments in the way that you perform on the instrument.
And when you write music, where do you start? What do you write from? Experience, from how you feel at that moment?
A lot of my music is just based on personal drama.
Personal drama?
Yeah.
Where are you from, Carol?
I'm originally from down south,
where
there's a lot of drama. in Mississippi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how did you get here? What year did you come in east?
Wow, it's been a lot of years now. I'm telling my age.
Yeah.
I first came up to New York in 1991.
Okay.
So it's been quite a journey. I moved around quite a bit. And then with Guitar Center, I moved around also, and I actually went back south. I went to New Orleans a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and then came back. But this is my home now. So
and music has always been a part of your life, always.
Always, right. Since I was a little kid. So
let's talk about your composition that you're going to perform for everybody right now.
Okay.
Butterfly Wish?
Yes.
Tell me about this.
Well, Butterfly Wish was written around 2008 and recorded in 2009. I started performing it all around the New York City area. And I wrote the song for a friend that was going through something. So
okay.
I have a theme for my music. It's heartbreak and wonder. So basically, when I wrote the song, I didn't know it was going to do as well as it did.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's really written for a friend that was going through something. And what you'll hear today, I'm going to play it with the piano sound, but I'm also using a backing track that I work with a producer on. So
all right,
you'll hear other sounds. It's more of a hip hop classical vibe to it. Something that's new for a C major. C major is usually just doing her own thing on piano, but
all right.
Hopefully you'll like it.
Can we do it now?
Sure.
All right, you take your seat at the piano. You can lay the mic there. Where's my technical help? Oh, my daughter Kyla. Ladies and gentlemen, my daughter Kyla, my technical advisor. Ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for C major. Thank you. Yeah, very nice. Ah, ha, ha. C major, everybody. You want to do another one? You want to hear one more? Gut feeling in the key of A minor. One more time for C major, everybody.
Thank you.
Major. Wow. Very nice. Come back and tell folks how folks can get your music. Wow. Show us some love, everybody. Very, very nice. Wow. Very nice. How does it feel to play your music and have everyone listen to your music? I mean, that's a good feeling as an artist, right? Feels good.
It feels great.
Right.
Thank you so much, Jeff Fox, for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Oh, please.
This is really good.
Yeah. Tell folks how to get your music. How do we do that?
Well, I'm on iTunes.
Okay.
So you can go to Amazon, even. You can go to iTunes. I'm a TuneCore artist. So feel free to look up the songs that you heard today. And that's it.
All right.
Well, where else to
Well, we look forward to seeing you soon. We'd like to see you on the stage. If not the stage right away, we'll see you at Guitar Center, Route 4. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
One more time, C Major today, live on the Jeff Fox Radio Show online.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're here on the C Major Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's podcast episode. We're talking about writing down beautiful sounds, seventh chords, and I just played for you an interview clip. I just wanted to kind of have you take a listen and to see if you were able to detect any seventh chords in that particular presentation and to just to start thinking about the use of those chords. I know for me, as a pianist, I'm very much influenced by classical music and the music of J.S. Bach, Mozart, Haydn, other revered composers. I even wrote a little interlude called J.S. Ramblings because I was so inspired by the music of Bach. But I've also learned how important it is to find a way to write your own expression. So in my regard, the old is pretty much absorbed into some of the new things that I do, but still using tonal qualities in the music and diatonic harmonies and not really delving too much into dissonance, but just staying consonant. But if you are interested in going beyond just your basic tonal harmony, there's a way to do that too. So I just want to inspire you to do that as we're winding down to the last few minutes of today's podcast episode. So I introduced you to the dominant seventh chord tonight and how to write that on the staff. So I just invite you to keep going with that. So harmonizing simple melodies, using expansions as you'd like, on the tonic, on the dominant, going into other chords, thinking about how you would use seven chords. Would you resolve seven chords the same way that Bach and Mozart and Haydn did? Take a look at some popular music and the podcast episode over at C Major. Before the show, we talked a lot about R&B and pop and the music of Prince and the way they were using music. I even started out the podcast talking about the presentation at Yale University where they explored the music of Bowie and Prince. So if you are more along the academic line of thinking about the presentation of music, I invite you to just Google search that and see if they still have posted some of the programming from that. The name of that program was called Black Star Rising, The Purple Rain, Celebrating the Legacies of David Bowie and Prince. And the presentation took place a while ago, a couple of years ago. And it was in 2017. There were some other celebrations going on that talked about America's music, talked about jazz. You know, feel free to look that up too. But I just thought it was so inspiring. As much as I'm inspired by classical music and music of the 17th and the 18th and 19th centuries, in some cases even the 16th and 15th and 16th centuries, I really like that music too. But I just like music, but I really found inspiration in the music of David Bowie and Prince as I was growing up. I'm really venturing to say that a lot of that music had influence on me when I started to write. It just gave me the confidence to express myself the way I wanted to express myself. And for next week's episode, just to give you a preview, we are going to talk about women composers because I've also been influenced by the courage that these women composers had when they were writing, at the time that they were writing music. We're talking about Florence Price, the music that you hear on New York's classical station nowadays. They really are paying a lot of attention to her music for Black History Month. And I would just say, take a listen to as much music as you can to find your own voice and your own writing. I really believe in that. Just finding a way to sit down and write music that means something to you, that has something to do with your own expression. And if you are of the belief that music has nothing to do with feelings and that everything should be cerebral, then I just challenge you to write it from that perspective too. Write it the way that you think your music should sound. I think as a young pianist growing up, taking piano lessons from the time I was around 7 or 8, that when my teacher said, write your own music, I did write from a cerebral perspective. Just, what do I think I should write? What sounds do I want to put together? And that's how it came about. You just start with something, and then later on it develops into something else. But I would just say try to listen to as much music as you can, and let us know what you think. Let us know what you think about seven chords. Are seven chords beautiful to you? Did you hear any seven chords in the interview that I just played for you in the clip? What did you hear that was going on? What did you hear that you could even add to it? I was really surprised when I started putting my music online at how many people out there are willing to take your music and rewrite it. So I was on, I think it was some music, it wasn't an artist locator service, but it was something similar to that, where someone could listen to a clip of your music and then decide if they wanted to hire you for a project. But what was going on was people were listening to it and they were starting to write their own improvisation to it. So that's definitely going to be a topic that we'll go over here on the C Major Radio Show, improvisation. How do you feel about improvisation? Do you like your music composed and that you know it's nice and neat and you know exactly where it's going? Or do you like the freedom of, do you feel like the luckiest person in the world when you're improvising? And how would you write down your improvisation for someone else to experience that same expression? So a lot of things to think about, but definitely tune in. Next week we're going to continue our discussion on nine chords, which we talked about and touched on a little bit tonight. And then because Black History Month is ending next week, we're going to touch on some history of women composers next Saturday, which is the beginning of March, March 1st. So Black History Month is ending, but we're going to end next week with some commentary on what women composers were doing with their music and just give you some food for thought. So thank you so much for tuning into the C Major Radio Show tonight. I hope you got something out of today's podcast episode. And if you did, let us know. You can get in touch with us on social media and definitely see us over at C Major's Classroom. You can find us online. And if you have any question about that, just tap into our DMs so that we can get in touch with you directly and then let you know a little bit more about what we're doing on our podcast episodes. For tonight, practice writing down, naming, spelling, basic seven chords. You've been listening to our conversation, our discussion about how to construct seven chords, how to write inversions. In the past, we did talk about notes that were used in blues. Blues uses third, fifth, and seventh notes, which we call blue notes. But the main thing I wanted to focus on was the major and the minor chord types in tonight's episode. So thanks again so much for tuning in. Make the best music you can make. Try to make some music this week with seven chords. Get out and listen to some music if you can. The weather is starting to turn around here in the greater New York City area, so everybody's getting excited about some of the music that's going to be taking place. And one last thing I do want to mention. I did not mention this over at C Major before the show, but I'm going to mention it here. Carnegie Hall has a great citywide festival going on. If you can somehow find your way around the city to delve into what they have to offer. This starts at Carnegie Hall on March 9th. I'm not trying to do free promotion for Carnegie Hall, but I'm so excited about this. I just have to share it. And the events will begin across New York City. If you happen to be in the New York City area, it begins on February 28th. And when I say get out and listen to some music, this is what I mean. So there are some organizations that are partnering with Carnegie Hall to talk about the history of America and express that history through music making and through this festival. It's called Migrations, the Making of America. So there are 75, I believe, partner organizations in New York and beyond that will be highlighting all type of migrations, including those from Italy, Latin America, the Caribbean, Asia, the internal migration of Native Americans, and they're just talking about how this all ties into American culture. So if that's something that excites you, it's talking about music, it's talking about history, it's talking about the diversity of cultures, traditions, and you'll want to tune in if you can. Let me just give you an idea of some of the places that are partnering with Carnegie Hall. Grace United Methodist Church, for instance, which is in Manhattan. That's on West 104th Street. The Center for Jewish History at 15 West 16th Street in Manhattan. Go over to Hamilton Grange Library at West 145th Street. So you can see how everything is so spread out. They're talking about the music of women. They're talking about dance. They're talking about it all. There's an education wing at Carnegie Hall, if you just care to stay on West 57th Street, and you can go there as well. Let me just mention one more just to throw that out. Let's see. There is, now I like this too, because they're also going along with respecting the generation, so they have something for seniors, for instance. Now, there's a trio. Now, I've never heard of this trio, but it's someone on clarinet and mandolin, and someone else on bass and drums, and that's going to be taking place at Zankel Hall and Carnegie Hall. And then it looks like Nicholas Payton is doing something on trumpet, and that is coming up also at Carnegie Hall. So check it out. The program is called Migrations, the Making of America. I'm sure if you tune into New York's classical station, you will hear something about this there, over there, too. Also, I know the professor at Yale University, Professor, make sure I get the name correct here. This is the same professor that also gave us the Black Star Rising and Purple Rain program. There were a lot of names involved. But, of course, she's the main name, Professor Daphne A. Brooks. I just want to make sure I got that initial in the middle in there, from Yale University. I believe she's doing a presentation in New York as well that goes along with everything that's coming up for later this month and then March, I believe. So look into that. There's so much music to get into, so many things to be inspired by. And I look forward to seeing you next week right here on the C Major Radio Show. Have a great evening and find yourself some music to listen to, and good luck with your music making. Take care, and I'll see you next time.